I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy.
Councilmember Deedy has been excused.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember De Leon.
Here.
Councilmember Page.
Councilmember Page has been excused.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay, so who wants to lead off this? I think that Christiana and Chris and Melissa requested this work session. So do we have somebody who wants to start out?
I'd be happy to go. Yeah, thank you. I know this has been a long time coming. It's been several months since this was initially just brought up to council, and it feels like it's been ages ago already. One of our last things we discussed when we were still able to meet in person. I really appreciate the conversations we've been having so far about how we would include, the various school districts that are included, how we'd be mindful of tying this in with the SCA. I think all of those are going to be really valuable in what we can be doing to sort of integrate the best of those ideas, along with making this something that is unique to Black Diamond. So I appreciate the thought that people put into this. And I know with the new superintendent in Enumclaw and more discussions in Enumclaw, that might change the landscape a little, but I think all of those parts are off to making this something that can be meaningful and something that we can use to help guide our work in the time ahead.
Do we have anybody else?
Well, I have an opinion, as usual. When we began this process, I think Councilmember De Leon presented to us a statement made by the City of Maple Valley and Tahoma School District jointly. And the reason we didn't adopt that statement as our own was because it was not our own. And so we have in the ensuing months seen some rather dramatic community-wide episodes, I guess we would say, that lead us to understand that we really do need to have, I don't even know if you would call it a policy, but uppermost in our minds that we are a welcoming and inclusive community, that we do not want to reject anyone or have preferential treatment from one group over another. And we do need to make our own statement, or at least, I don't know if we need to, but we have decided that we're going to make a statement. And once again, it should be our statement, not Sound Cities Association, not Maple Valley, not Enumclaw School District, not Tahoma or Auburn or Kent School District, but a City of Black Diamond proclamation or statement, whatever we decide to call it. And so I thought it would be useful to tonight make a list of issues or people or I guess I'm having a little trouble with word finding. I'm actually having smoke asthma going on here, so I'm kind of a little breathless tonight. But I'm just saying, if we make a list of what we want our inclusiveness statement to include, and then I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but at some point we could flesh it out into paragraphs or statements. But if we can go through and brainstorm and maybe use details that have come to us from other people's proclamations and statements, and then decide what we want to be included in our own, I think we have some very unique characteristics of our city that we have seen come to the forefront, even in just the last couple of weeks, with people being unkind to one another. So that's my thought, if we can come up with that list tonight. If anybody else has a better way of going at it, I'm all for it.
I think that's fair. And I'm happy to hear others' input on this, but I appreciate what you touched on, that this is contextual. This is about recent things that have happened in our city, and correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the things that were unkind even in our city a few weeks ago, meaning that we really do need to address the potential issue of how long someone has lived in the city, whether it's been a few weeks or if it's been a few decades. I think that's kind of, or a few generations is kind of what I'm hearing in there. I think that's valid, or really an important part to bring up. And I think it's important to contextualize as we're going through these different proclamations, different resolutions, that we are really considering the historic backdrop of this. So we are talking about our own history in our city, but also at large, where we're talking about the fact that many cities produce these, especially in light of very trying, traumatic events, especially in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. And I think that is something that we need to keep in mind as we're making this, that many other cities have, and that both can guide it. Yes, there's a bigger structure here at play, but also I do hear room for really localizing this as well, and hearing that we are saying, no, it doesn't matter how long you lived here. It's this is everyone's city.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I saw that was missing from some of the other statements where they left out visitors, right? We want people that drive through, stop at the bakery, just ride their bike through to feel just as welcome as people who live here, work here, and school here, I think is what most of them had, right? But I think we want to be as inclusive as we can in our verbiage, right? Because that's really the true message, right? We want everyone to know you are all welcome here. Everyone is welcome here, whether you are brand new to Black Diamond, whether you fall in a number of categories that people have been made to feel unwelcome, that's not Black Diamond, right? We are, I was thinking about this the other night, and if we could figure out a way to, one, call those things out directly, but also figure out how to fit in the whole neighborly thing, right? I mean, I think a lot of communities have lost that, especially as they've grown. And I really hope we don't lose that as we grow as a city, right? I still want people to be able to smile and say hi to folks when they see them at the coffee shop, you know, borrow a cup of sugar, right? You know, that kind of stuff. And not feel apprehensive about approaching people they don't know in this city, right? It used to be where, you know, I grew up in a small town, and if you saw someone in your city you didn't know, you kind of introduced yourself and you smiled to them on the sidewalk. That doesn't necessarily happen anymore. And it'd be nice to kind of get back to those where, you know, where we were, everybody was welcome and everybody was a neighbor and everybody helped everybody out. And now people rarely know the people that live more than three or four houses away from them. So I think we can kind of hit, you know, kind of both angles there, right? We want people from all over to know that they're welcome here, but we also want people to know that by welcome, we don't just mean you can come here. We mean we're going to make you feel at home here, right? And I think that's kind of one of the things that I've been trying to do when we see folks that are new to like 10 Trails, right? That say, you know, they bought a house here, that kind of stuff. We want them to feel that they're at home and that they're proud to be part of the Black Diamond community.
I guess that leaves me, huh? Wow. So with this inclusive, welcoming statement that we're working on today, I really truly am just looking for a nice little proclamation, not a resolution. When you think of resolutions, you think of, okay, who's going to command that? Who's going to enforce that? Who's going to take care of that resolution? Because it's over a resolution, not a proclamation. So I'm really looking forward into this work study as a nice proclamation that we announce that this is what our city is. This is what we look forward to with our city as we grow, with our elders and with our new neighbors and things like that. What I'm concerned about is having this proclamation made up. You know, we look at other signs in our city, like, you know, no drug zone, no gun zone areas. I'm hoping, you know, what we're getting out of this proclamation is going to be just a nice, sweet conversation that we have at what on our website, or where is this going to be and how is it going to be used? Is it just going to be a proclamation, or is it going to be another sign where it says no drug zone, no racist zone, no gun zone, there are signs. I mean, how do you enforce that?
I think. Oh, go ahead.
No, by all means.
Yeah. No, I think what this is, and I do think that with a resolution, it just shows more exactly those words, a sense of resolution to this kind of movement. Regardless, this isn't something that's just only, even though I think it's important that we include things about, you know, welcoming our neighbors, being friendly, all of that. That's really important, to be friendly, to feel like there's a sense of community, a sense of neighborliness. What we're going to with this, and I think this is addressing some of your question about what it means to, and I mean, I know this is being recorded, so air quotes, enforce it, is I think we really need to be thinking about what it means to stand behind that as a city. For this to be about members of the public, for this is about businesses, about people who are coming through, to hold us as a city entity to the words that we say that we're doing. So no, this isn't something where necessarily be like a no drug zone kind of a thing in a school. This is about something that's a lot less tangible, but a lot just as important as something that's just saying whether or not we have drugs. You know, I get it. Like, we want to say it's something like a, you know, a no racist zone or something like that. Is what I think I heard you say, and it's a fair point. To this though, the work is both far more compelling in a way, and it's also a lot more ambiguous. That doesn't take away the necessity. So I think when we're thinking about this, we're talking about things that, and I'm weeding through or combing through some of these resolutions where we're talking about, you know, racism, where we're talking about discrimination based on religion, where we're talking about gender and gender identity and homophobia and, you know, how long we've lived here and all of those kinds of things. We're not going to be saying, oh, if you don't follow this, X will happen. But this is meant for we as a city to say, these are our values. These are not part of our values, for then the public to come in and say, is this actually, you know, this next policy you're doing, is this part of your values? This next activity or event, how does that fit in? And I think that it's meant to encourage that ongoing conversation, because this work is far from over and it's going to keep going well past all of us have served our times in office.
Not sure how we can get to that end point. That's a work in progress. And I think before we go to the point of a resolution, we'll have to have our city attorney on board with that. So I'm just hoping tonight we can hash out the skeleton of what we, you know, what we want to include. And I think all of us are on board with, you know, the list. The Maple Valley statement has a great list under their whereas, if I could read through that. And this is down about 6 points. So we could go back and go to some of the other points, but this list I thought was pretty good. It's missing a couple points. We celebrate our community's diversity and welcome all people who live, work, and go to school here, regardless of their national origin, color, race, sexual orientation, or gender identity, financial or socioeconomic status, or political opinion. I would add religion. There's, you know, whatever your religion may be, that wasn't mentioned there. And maybe because of the school environment, you don't combine school and religion. I'm not sure why that was left out of there.
I would add ability to that list too, right? We want
ability.
You might want to think about whether you want to add school districts or not, since we have 4 school districts. It might be really confusing to try to be inclusive of 4 school districts. It might be easier to just talk about your inclusive statement.
I thought of not specifically mentioning any of the school districts because we're talking about the city, and each of the school districts, I believe, has their own statement that they've made. Mm-hmm. And so that applies to their schools. But if we talk about who we feel like we want to welcome and include in our city, then that also includes, I mean, part of it says, you know, people who go to school here. So we could have people who go to school here who aren't from here, amazingly enough, but that can Well, I mean, it can happen. You can have inter-district
transfer. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think one of the things we need to talk about, right, is the tone we take in it, right? We don't want it to be a no tone, right? We want it to be a tone where people realize the no without us having to state it. And the way I'm looking at that is we want people to realize that we're a better community when we're inclusive and we have diversity and we have people from all backgrounds, right? It's like a team at work, right? A team at work is not very good if all of the people have the same background, right? If they're all carbon copies of each other, you don't get the best ideas out of it, right? I've worked in technology for over 30 years and all the teams that have been successful, we have people from all types of experience, which kind of relates to how long they've been in Black Diamond, from all types of backgrounds and all types of places that they've come from around the world. Technology is a very, very inclusive, group. We've got people from, it's not as exclusive as some of the other industries, right? We have found, at least I have found in my personal experience over time, that any organization that I've been a part of where we have people from different backgrounds and different experiences, we have a better long-term outcome. And I think if we can if we can figure out how to make a tone that makes it a positive thing instead of a, hey, we're against this, but you know that we're against that by the tone of it. Does that make a lot of sense? Try to put a happy face on it and to be an inclusive face instead of a, non-tolerant, well, not even non-tolerant, but wanted to have a positive outlook on it is I guess what I'm saying.
To that end, I think it's important to keep in mind that we do want to say what we're for even more than what we're against, because it's that shows more of a statement of values, which is I think what I'm hearing in this. With that in mind, I do think it's important that we do recognize that there needs to be something like some teeth behind it too, and recognizing that there are crises going on both in our community and just very locally, surrounding and nationally too, even though I don't think we need to, the point isn't to dwell on things that are well outside of Black Diamond. It's important to contextualize some of this in a larger frame. And to do that, we do have to say address some things that were, address some harms and address some traumas. Because I don't think to not say it means that we're, to just not say that, I fear runs the risk of us watering down a resolution too much to the point that we're saying, hey, we're nice people, which is great. But then that shouldn't be where we're spending our time as a council, is whether or not we're going to be nice people. And that would be my concern, is that we just fall short of really saying anything that shows us a statement of values and just goes to something that I would hope we would all agree is that we all more or less think that we're wanting to be nice. So that would be my addition to that, is I agree we want to say what we're for, but we also want to make sure that this is saying, this is what's not okay in with that, because we're showing, but this is what is what we say we stand up for. And that means why it's even more important when we talk about inclusion and welcoming, what it actually means. I do think in with that, it should include something in terms of values about what do we want to say about, how do we work in our positions? How do we go about things like, future trainings. I don't know if that would be part of the resolution or not, but how do we resolve in meaningful ways to commit to this work so that it doesn't just become, yay, we're nice, but it's about saying, look, this is now what we're going to do as a next step, because that's also where that accountability piece will be key.
Here's some verbiage also from the Maple Valley Tahoma statement, where you're talking about saying what we are not going to tolerate. There's the inclusion part, and then there's the part about, no, this is not part of our community. Verbal and physical acts to threaten or intimidate people are not consistent with our core values, are not part of our culture, and do not reflect who we are. And the politics of division, isolation, and hate have no place in our community. I think when we discussed this before, we wanted to take out the word politics, because we're not talking about politics. We're talking about our neighborly interactions, not necessarily a political And we're going to have political divisions. We're going to have party preferences. We're going to put up different signs in our yards. We're going to vote for different people. You know, we're going to have those divisions, but we should not be having isolation and hate and threatening and intimidation. Those things we right. can take a strong stand against and say, that is not part of our community. City Council, we do not support anything that goes that way.
How do we put verbiage in there that not only says that, but it also says that we celebrate our differences, right? I mean, that's kind of, we don't want to do the boilerplate of, hey, we don't like these, and yes, we like these, but we want to add some things that say, you know what, we really do believe that a vibrant, growing community has to have a plethora of diverse backgrounds, right?
Write that down, council member.
Plethora of diverse backgrounds. Okay.
Write that down. I mean, these are all the things that we need to be gathering together and send a message that when you come to Black Diamond, whether you live here or work here or play here or go to school here or visit here, you are welcome.
Yeah, we need to figure out how to, you know, one of the other things is tolerance, right? You were just talking about the political stuff, right? We're going to have differences. People are going to, you know, disagree on things, and we can civilly disagree on things, right? We can civilly disagree on approaches and stuff like that, right? Where we don't tolerate that disagreement is where we get into the kind of the hate stuff, right? If people are just, you know, that's not a civil disagreement. That's not even a informed disagreement, right? So we need to figure out how we can say, you know, we want people to not just tolerate people who are different than them, but we want them to embrace people that are different than them, right? And that's hard to see in some of the proclamations that I've read, right? I think a lot of the proclamations that I've read and resolutions, there are a lot of, you know, and without making this thing a million pages long, right? We just need to figure out a way to you know, get people to realize that, you know, a city full of carbon copies is not a city, right? That's a clone factory somewhere. So
I think with that in mind, I mean, I think, and I recall this being one of the earlier conversations in February too, about the focus on the word with politics and, you know, differences of opinion. And I know there was some, you know, originally I was maybe, I think at that point I was having a different mindset about some of the wording around it, because of course it was contextual to some of, I think, what the other proclamations were alluding to when they mentioned that. And of course, because this is a city that we'd be talking more about politics in terms of policy. However, I think that if we dwell too much on this idea of, you know, just simply disagreeing based on only differences of opinion, I think we're losing a lot of the heart of what we're really trying to get at with this. And I'm going back a little bit both to the Maple Valley Proclamation as well as to what Councilmember Stout brought up earlier and reminded us that SEA put out a really strong one, mostly, and again, this is contextual, and this is why it's context is key, in relation to COVID-19 and some of the rises of xenophobia and bias and violence. And I'm kind of paraphrasing some of what I'm reading on the screen right now. But I think with that in mind, you know, I see a lot about, you know, it says the proclamation provides SEA and its member cities reject racially based bias, harassment, and hate crimes, will not tolerate discrimination of any kind, denounce, and this is, you know, COVID-19, but, you know, misnaming, blaming, and harassment based on race, ethnicity, place of origin, physical ability, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, or religion. I'm glad that religion is mentioned there. I think that was an important part to remind us also, Councilmember Stout. But to that end, I think that's what we're looking at, is how we're saying, what do we want us to do instead? And it's getting closer with that proclamation of, so what should we be doing? Because it's saying, look, this is what we want our members to do and be about. And I think that's important. So I think with that, we just also don't want to get sidetracked of, you know, making this proclamation simply a matter of, you know, like we have different signs in our yard, because yeah, that's good to recognize that we can have those differences, but I don't think that is you know, really the essential thing that we're talking about. And I'm going to bring it back a little bit to what we're talking about when it comes to, you know, issues related to xenophobia and to racism and to discrimination based on religion and gender identity and all these other things, where it's really even more of that essence past differences of thought and approach, as I think I also heard too. So I want to make sure that we put that back on the front burner, is and not at the expense of talking only about like the policies and policies kind of politics in those kinds of areas of disagreement.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think we keep those up front, right? I think as we talked about the list that Councilmember Stout was talking about earlier, I think we noticed that some of them had left out religion, politics, and ability, right? We just need to supplement that list, because we don't want people to hate people because they're of a different political party and they don't know the person, right? I mean, hate is kind of an ignorance thing in the first place, right? But it's even worse when it's to do with politics, because it's such a thing. So, but I think, as you know, as we look at kind of that list, right, we want to make sure that we're as inclusive in that list as possible, right? So make sure not just race, but country of origin, right? Because I think some of them had country of origin in it, some of them didn't. That kind of stuff. So,
well, I do think that our final one does need to include religion, and I do think talk about ability is important, especially because we're looking at how we're going to, you know, build our city going forward. And I think with ability, we're talking about accessibility, which is going to be key to how we're continuing to grow. So I think that's especially something that it's true is lacking from some of the others. I do like that with the SEA, they're, you know, granted it's the SEA or, you know, the Sound Cities Association, but I do like that they have a few more like kind of working ideas about how that might look. You know, it's starting to allude to something of a more practical matter. I do like that. So again, it's not simply a matter of just saying, yay, we're nice. But I do appreciate that in there. I think that we're onto something with including those points as well. But then of course, what do we do about it?
Melissa, the three of us are talking a lot. Do you have some words for us?
You're muted. You're muted.
There you go. Sorry, I'm listening a lot. I'm looking back and forth on some of the Enumclaw resolutions in the Maple Valley and the SCA. I'm just trying to figure out what wording we're really looking for. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. I have you guys on a small screen, so I can only see one person at a time now as I'm looking at my big screen here. You know, I'm just really listening. I mean, I don't know exactly the correct words. I'm really going to fall and lean on some of the words that have already been out there from other cities and other sound associates, you know, the SCA and the Enumclaw and the Pages, because I feel like, again, I don't think this needs to be that detailed. When I look at all their whereas, there's less than maybe five, maybe six whereas, you know, so I feel like this should be a pretty simple, not too detailed kind of conversation. And again, I'm gonna lean on some of the other conversation, the other pieces of information that are out there for me. And then hopefully lean on the lawyer or our lawyer to write something up for us with some of these extra words. I do agree the religion should be in there. As Aaron said, I do understand that we wanna be a welcoming for all visitors and residents and people. With all core values, I do believe in all that. I want to, you know, make sure we're in there saying that we know there's, you know, that their hate has no place in our community. That, you know, we always are striving to work hard in our community to be better. And like you said, Christiana, how are we gonna walk the walk and talk the talk? And you know, I think, you know, with city, maybe there is some sort of continue education courses we can take as a city staff or as city council members in our political spot here on city council, that we do walk the walk and talk the talk by taking those extra leadership courses as well. And of course, then spreading that on to the community also. I guess that's my two cents so far without going too much more, but just looking back at the resolutions, what I've been looking at.
Oh no, that's really good. And I appreciate the, even those kind of last parts of the, I mean, all of it's good. I especially appreciate though, the talk about, you know, what would it look like to do some of these trainings or even a resolution to educate ourselves more. Because the truth is, you know, there are a lot of areas where I think just recognizing that there are areas of growth for all of us is going to be really key, and it's humbling. And so I like that. I know this is a side note, but I appreciate that it was also, you know, brought back to our attention that, you know, tomorrow, for example, there'll be something with the SCA that will be also continuing voices and conversations and panels around this. And I know you, Councilmember Stout, have been really diligent about attending some of those workshops. And I think that's really key to a lot of this is resolving that we may not know or have all the answers, but we're working towards that kind of progress and understanding. So yeah, I think something in a resolution that says, we also commit, you know, as a city, you know, the capital C, to moving forward by educating ourselves more and, you know, doing something with that education is, I think, a breath of fresh air that other cities and other regions aren't saying, but I think that really shows a very definitive next step that shows some teeth behind a resolution, but that doesn't pigeonhole us into something that is maybe not going to be as fruitful down the line. You know, learning is key, knowledge is power.
I think including the word awareness is a really important thing. Talking about the Sound Cities Association racial and social equity series that I've been attending, some of the points that have been brought out is that I don't know everyone here, but all of us here are basically white elected officials or people who work for the city and some visitors. And as we hear from our friends of color, we learn that their experiences are different from ours. And we haven't dealt with what they have dealt with and what they do deal with daily in their lives. So I think your point, Councilmember De Leon, about awareness or continued training or continued openness is a really important point that we are keeping our eyes open and watching for situations in our community that are not welcoming or that are not inclusive or that are hateful or that are hurtful, and that we will stand up and speak out against those things. We may not have the force of law behind our actions because, you know, people can say rude things in the post office and there's not a legal action that we take against that. But right. We can stand up straight and say, no, that's not who we are and that's not what we do. Our friend Alicia Bush is here on this call with us, and she has really helped me to understand how we can make a difference, each individual. You know, we have 6 or 7 members of our council. We'll have a 7th member soon, we hope. And we have a mayor, and we have our city staff. And if each one of us makes a difference every day in our community, that's a lot. And if there's a trickle-down effect where as we stand up and we speak out, then, you know, our neighbors perhaps will embrace this idea. We're not going to change every person. We're still going to have grumpy people. We're still going to have people, you know, Peter, what's his name? Councilmember Wisnowski, who writes the great books, Kageyama?
I got them handy right here.
I love those books. He talks about the cave people, citizens against virtually everything.
Kageyama.
Yeah. The cave people, citizens against virtually everything. We're not going to please everyone, but if we can embrace everyone, remember the old poem about you drew a circle that shut me in and I drew a circle that included you? I don't know how to say the poem. Let's do that. Let's be the circular, inclusive people. Even the grumpy people can be in our circle, but we're not going to stand back and allow unkindness or hatefulness while we just zip our lips and be quiet. Especially, you know, because we're supposed to be the leaders in our community. So let's lead.
That's amazing. I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. It's really well said too. And I mean, that'd be just a great thing to just put out there in terms of just having that be a lot of the resolution words. And I'm trying to think how to even succinctly put that, because I think that's exactly it. This isn't meant to change every single heart and mind. As we know, in each and every one of these jurisdictions, there's still ongoing issues and challenges. It's just, you know, for every city that does this, and then hopefully ours as well, we're at least saying, yes, we realize that this is an ongoing issue. It's just, this is what we're hoping to keep advancing towards, knowing we're not going to get there overnight. I think it's that idea that I hear about, the idea of leading by example, you know, and I think the idea that we're always just trying to make progress towards these goals, even if it feels very elusive at times, towards saying, yes, this is what we stand for, you know. So kind of going back to that point too, with, you know, rude things said at the post office, you know, and for context, I know there was a community member who expressed some disdain about, you know, people, about not feeling like newer residents, and especially those in certain neighborhoods, feel as welcome. I think that's part of it, is then, you know, hopefully once, you know, there are those in our city leading by example on this and saying, here's what we're trying to do instead, it does have that residual effect or that kind of ripple effect where then people say, hey, that's not what our city is about. And I think that's what especially some of our newer residents are really longing for. You know, we know it's a culture dynamic. You can't have policies necessarily saying, you know, don't say mean things, you know, all the time, right? Right? I mean, you can't, you know, but I think at least this is a resolution about a statement of culture that, yes, can then go back into certain ways that we are informing policy because we are more informed ourselves. So that goes into, again, ideas like, you know, adding ability, making sure that, you know, that there is more access and access to our social services and to our roads, to our infrastructure, and just having that in our minds that we've been more educated on what it means to be inclusive towards ability will mean that therefore we're directing ourselves accordingly. Same goes for religion. Same thing goes for sexual orientation and gender identity. We may not know everything yet, but then at least we're understanding that there's a lot we don't know, and that's okay, you know.
And we could, you know, we can work with our department heads, right, to align with that and build that into their missions and goals, right? That's how in the corporate world it's kind of done, right? You build those into your missions and goals for your organization, both the big organization, right, the city, as well as all the departments and stuff like that. And then we can make the stand that it's not okay just not to be racist. It is better. We are anti-racist, right? I mean, that kind of thing, right? Where you actually take an active stand. When you see it, call it out, squash that ugly bug, and move on.
You mentioned core values and culture, and I can't find it on our website because all of you know how much I love searching on our website.
I think that's the thing that unites all of our city.
I will continue to complain about the big green ugly monster. I believe we have a mission statement someplace on there. Mayor, do you know where it is? I can't find it. Brenda, do you know where it is?
Yeah.
Our mission statement. I know our police have a statement of core values, and we started to work with them on updating their mission statement before, you know, COVID and whatever. Perhaps, you know, we can't mention.
Isn't our mission statement in our comp plan?
Oh, is it in the comp plan?
There's a mission statement there, but I don't know if that's what Councilmember Stout is talking about. The city really doesn't have a mission statement like the, you know, like each department or anything like that, but there could be something in the comp plan.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Well, maybe that's what this statement is, part of of our statement of the mission of Black Diamond to accept and welcome and include and stand up against, you know, various things that we've discussed here tonight. So maybe that can be part of this proclamation that this is what we stand for. And maybe as we adopt that as something that even can be amended throughout the years, who knows, things change and new people come who have good and better better ideas than those of us trying to pound away at this. But perhaps we can make that be part of what we're talking about.
Two ideas to that end, because I really like that, going back just a little bit further, yes, I think adding in department heads is going to be important. It's really good with that first point to think about what that might mean for the fact that the Black Diamond Police Department has been working on a mission statement. Yes, it sounds like that kind of got to a little bit of a halt with COVID, but keeping in mind even the really I'd say powerful statement that the Black Diamond Police Department put out with other police departments, recognizing some ongoing work. And actually, and there's some really compelling calls for how I'm hearing a lot of calls for partnering with cities and partnering about what that looks like and where do we fit in with that. I see that being something that could definitely be going in the right direction in that approach. I think to the second point as well, we're talking about some of the things that are moving past us and bringing it to a little bit of what we mentioned a lot earlier with how cumbersome it potentially might be to include other cities or especially other school districts. I could see this being something where, you know, maybe similar to the school impact fees, you know, we pass something now and invite and open it up to the school district to say, hey, you know, we passed this with this caveat that, like, if you want to sign on and agree and say something that we are now in joint partnership, I could see that being really impactful. And I don't know what that would look like. That might be a question for all the legal teams, both our city, other cities, and or school districts. But that would be something to pursue is, you know, we have our own with that kind of open door invitation to say, do you want in on this? Because I don't think anything that we will be passing tonight is necessarily going to be something that other jurisdictions wouldn't be fairly ready to go along with. That's just my instinct there.
Do we know if all the other schools already have their own statement?
They do.
I would think they do, right? So it might be, it'd be interesting to, Well, that's kind of the role of SCA, yeah. But yeah, I'd be interested to see how they all come together, right? So,
because Enum Claw is still a work in progress. I think that's where I'm seeing Councilmember Oglesby unmuting here. Is there something?
No, Enum Claw has actually passed theirs with the, yeah, with the school district, and the city of Enum Claw has already passed theirs a while back ago. I was just searching through my old emails. These are just kind of, I deleted a lot previously thinking, I don't know, I was cleaning out my emails. So some of the emails that I forwarded you guys today were just ones that I kind of found. It was like, okay, just looking at the verbiage and the words is what I was looking at and trying to help you guys make a decision.
I don't believe we've seen a statement from Kent or Auburn. Maybe I missed.
Councilor brought something from Kent, not the Kent School District, but I can easily look to pull that up. I think actually, Mayor Benson, you sent something, I think, earlier that showed.
Well, last week I sent a summary from SCA that said what the other cities had done and if they had a statement, but it didn't include the statement that said what they did. So the resources out there, you could go to all of those cities and gather all that information together, but I don't know how much, I mean, other cities that you are talking about, like Maple Valley, probably already did that. So I don't know how far you want to go to explore what you want to say, but.
I think we were talking about the school districts, statements from the school districts, because we have Tahoma and Enum Claw school districts, but not a statement from Kent or Auburn, but I think they have them. We just don't have them.
They have it. I'm looking for it now. I know that Superintendent Watts, I think, put something out fairly recently as well. So I'm kind of searching for that right now. Because I know they did and early on, and that's what it was. And Councilmember Deedy shared us something that the city of Kent put out, which, going back to something earlier that we touched on earlier with that idea of specific policy and values, it was definitely theirs was definitely in response to specific policy that they wanted to point out. But I'm still looking. Hopefully I'll find it soon.
So I really think, you know, with not dragging this out any longer than it needs to be dragged out, taking the school districts out of equation here, looking at, you know, 5 good core values that we think that our city can work toward in their statements, and having that proclamation or resolution, whatever you guys decide on having this be, get it worked up quickly and get it on the agenda. I know this is something, and I don't want to make it sound light and be insensitive to people's feelings, but I feel like this has been going on long enough where we've had plenty of time to evaluate other cities' resolutions or proclamations about this. We have our core values. We kind of, sounds like we all agree on the consistency of what we want to say and what we want to be and how we want to move forward. I feel like it should just be at that point here now. We need to find our 5 top whereas, see if we agree on it. It needs to be kinked or corked a little bit or worded better with our lawyer and then move forward.
Yeah, I think to that end, you're right, that we want to balance that sense of urgency with that sense that we also want to do it right. And we don't want to just put out something just for the sake of putting out something or because other cities have, even though it's true that other cities and other school districts have done so. I think with that, I'm wondering how to move forward on that. To recap a little bit of what I think we have touched on, we do like a lot of the specifics that were included in, for example, Tahoma Maple Valley with that, I think it was 5th point is what was said. You know, I do think that we could appreciate a lot of what was said with some specific verbiage in SCA, in the SCA proclamation about here's what we want our members to do. And I think with that in mind, I see a point being, what do we do with our next step? I heard words like awareness. I heard words like, you know, committing ourselves to ongoing education about matters of inclusivity. I feel like there's another way to say that too. I think there's some parts to be said about our core values and culture that I think I heard echoed a little bit here that I think we could more or less get behind. Going back to the part with the Tahoma Maple Valley, adding in things like religion and ability, adding also in just the length of how long someone has been here. Maybe then we could say visitor versus new resident versus longtime resident. It doesn't matter.
If you don't want to drag this out a lot more, 3 of you could be on the committee and put a draft together and present it to me and the attorney, and then we could present it like at a council meeting, because otherwise we're going to have another work study if all of you want to weigh in on it. So if you pick a committee of 3 people, it won't be a quorum. The 3 of you can decide what those items are going to be, and then you can move it forward that way.
Well, I'd certainly be interested if those of us who are in attendance tonight want to go forward with that. I'm curious to see others' thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we can do, Christiana, if you find 3 council members that are willing to work on this committee, the other council members can submit a line or 2 that we thought that we might like to the committee. Say, hey, I really like this line, what this says here, and see if it matches with 1 of you 3 as well.
Can we do that, Mayor, if we have input from other council members that becomes a meeting?
No, you can't do that. You're right. It just has to be something submitted from them, and any changes would have
the conversation. So you can take 3 people, whoever that's going to be, Christiana, Aaron, and Chris, or whatever, decide on who those 3 people are going to be, and then they craft the whatever it's going to be, a proclamation or a resolution, because whatever, it's city policy and it's council policy, because that's what you do. That's your job. So if you can figure out who the 3 are going to be, that would probably be the easiest way to move forward. And then if you need some wordsmithing, Brenda can help you, or because I don't want to send it off to the attorney until you agree on the
you need to have a close to final product, and then just have David give it a quick once over to see if we went off the rails somewhere that's going to get us in trouble.
Yes.
So with that in mind, what would that kind of a timeline look like? Because if this is going to be a committee, what would the you know, the when and the where, all of that. I do.
But you, it would be up to the three of you to make your own arrangements, whoever it's going to be. The three of you.
Let's get council members on this board. Let's say, obviously, would it be ready by next council meeting? Let's shoot for the first of having it on the 1st of October's meeting. I mean, that gives you 1 to 2.5 weeks to draft something up, have the attorney look at it, Brenda look at it, and get it on the first council meeting of October.
So that might be a possible way to go about it. I know that we're also going to be deliberating about, you know, having this, you know, we're going to be having some executive sessions coming up, just from a pure time constraint issue. This might be a lot of, again, I want to balance that sense of urgency with the sense that we do have a lot going into the next week and a half. Of course, then we'll also be talking budget. But I think with that, I don't know. I'm wondering if that's a bit of a
aggressive timeline. Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking with the fact that we need to give David time to look it over, right? We probably need a little bit more time than that, right? Especially because we've already got our committee meetings and these meetings and executive sessions and stuff like that, where we might need more than a couple of weeks.
So first you need to agree on who's the committee going to be. So
we need to
opt out.
I opt out.
Okay.
I'll be gladly on the committee.
Okay.
So Melissa, taking the back door.
I am. I'm struggling with my commitments here and I need to focus on some things. So yeah. It sounds like you three are very passionate about this. I'm a little bit more reserved about this and I feel you guys have great inputs. And I respect all three of you guys. So I imagine the words that come out of this proclamation or resolution will be beautiful.
I think we can do most of it by email. And then if we have one Zoom meeting to kind of finalize, if somebody will be the typist, I don't know who it is, but we can
probably do it. I'm a fast type. I'm happy to.
We can glue it all together and send, you know, our thoughts and ideas to one person and then get together and talk about it at some point. Brenda, do you have something to say?
Oh, I was just going to speak on the timeline because I was kind of where you guys were on that's a really aggressive timeline because anything we would put in that council packet would need to go out on September 25th. That doesn't really give you guys
a lot of time. Very ambitious.
It is, and I appreciate that, you know, but I just want to give you guys enough time because as Christiana had discussed earlier, you know, this is your guys' statement. This is your policy. You know, you want to make sure moving forward, even when you put out crafting it at the very beginning for the council to see and council to look at is going to be.
Well, what about November, the first meeting in November?
The 5th? Sounds reasonable.
Gives you guys a good solid month and a couple weeks.
So what would this look like? I guess it's actually the question might already be answered, but by then we might potentially have somebody new on council. Maybe this is already addressed by some of what Councilmember Oglesby asked, but just wondering what that would look like for some of the participation.
Well, that new person is going to have to get up to speed on the budget and everything else. If you bring it as a committee to the meeting, and that person doesn't agree with it. I mean, it's highly unlikely whoever would not agree with a policy statement to be inclusive.
Can we decide now on just a first step where the three of us submit to each other within the next week or so our basic points and then move forward? We probably could have it done by the 1st of October to have it submitted to the attorney.
That sounds reasonable. I mean, I'm curious to hear what, you know, like what Brenda, what you might think, but having an idea of at least a rough draft by the end of this month potentially might be reasonable.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's a fair timeline. You wouldn't necessarily be submitting it in for a council packet. It would just be something for for attorney review and words after that. So, you know, depending on what your guys' schedule is, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, are we looking to have something ready for David by like the 30th?
I think
that can just be the 1st of October, you know.
But ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Late, yeah.
And that does give him plenty. If you had it to him by the 1st of October, that gives him 4 solid weeks, because I'm sure he has other things he's working on to go back and forth with you guys.
Well, and then we can also got other people on his staff that can help. So we don't know that he would actually be doing it. It might be one of his staff members.
One of his staff, yeah.
Then let's shoot for the goal for November 5th to have that ready to go on that if we can.
Yeah, sounds beautiful. Then I guess then when I'm just kind of looking at this, or as we're all talking together now, kind of more of just a housekeeping measure. But then this would be, you know, whenever we say, hey, this is a good rough draft, you know, it's already gotten a look over from the city attorney, would we then be kind of sending it out and it would just be a not reply all, but then it could still open conversation, or would
I think that if it got the approval by the attorney, you could have the attorney distribute it.
Okay.
This is like our final draft or whatever. So whoever ends up working on it in the attorney's office, this is the final draft and that, you know, got presented by the committee. And I would say that would probably be the easiest way to go. He could do the distribution and somebody would be having a conversation with him, with somebody at the attorney's office anyway. So, and
do we need to
bring up the having a closed session. So we are having a closed session next week, a special meeting at 6 o'clock for a closed session. So we'll bring the meeting to order and then we'll do the then we'll adjourn and do the closed session and go into a different room and have our closed session. And then we will come back to the meeting and resume the meeting. And presumably that closed session is supposed to last about an hour.
So procedurally, do we need to add something to the agenda for the 17th to create this committee? Or can we just work together?
Oh, you just work together.
Okay.
You don't actually have to be anything formal. As long as you all agree that that's what you want to do, it doesn't have to be anything formal.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if we needed to have Brenda add it to
or anything
agenda.
Like that.
Okay.
Between the three of us, we'll start an email thread, and Councilmember De Leon, if you're willing to work on the final product once we put all of our ingredients in, if you can cook up the recipe.
Yeah, I'd be glad to compile that, because I think we already are, from what I've heard from what's been input so far from this discussion tonight, is there are a few things that sound like they're fairly well agreed upon. There might be some nuances in it that we'll probably still be discussing a little more. But I think overall, I'd be glad to do that. And I'm foreseeing at least one more actual conversation, but who knows? But sure, I'd be glad to do that.
Well, good. So if there's no further discussion, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Bye.
Meeting adjourned.